Well, as we mentioned, Vice President Joe Biden just didn't see a path to the Democratic nomination.
I've said all along what I've said time and again to others, that it may very well be that that process, by the time we get through it, closes the window on mounting a realistic campaign for president, that it might close. I've concluded it has closed.
The vice president noted that his family has been grieving over the loss of his son.
But as I've said many times, my family has suffered loss, and I hope there would come a time, and I've said this to many other families, that sooner rather than later, when you think of your loved one, it brings a smile to your lips before it brings a tear to your eyes. Well, that's where the Bidens are today, thank God.
But in the end, what did this come down to? Todd Zwillick, takeaway Washington correspondent in Washington, D.C. What do you think this came down to for Joe Biden?
Well, it was interesting, John, in those clips that you played and in the speech that Biden gave in the Rose Garden, you know, saying off the top that he's not running, but then giving the entire justification of what a Biden presidency would be like, of all the things that he would want to do as president. Look, he said that the window had closed, and a lot of political strategists in Washington who I've talked to over the last few weeks about this, as everyone was speculating, have basically said, look, at this point in a presidential race, it's about donors, and it's about the big money donors. Joe Biden is never going to get the multitude of small donations that a Bernie Sanders is getting at $20, $30 at a clip. He's got to go for the big Democratic checkbooks. Those checkbooks are with Hillary Clinton right now, and while some of them have been nervous over a fumbling campaign, over emails, over the reaction to Benghazi, a lot of those donors are more confident than they were probably a month ago. That doesn't tell you how each one would react to a Biden candidacy, but a lot of the strategists say if you're Joe Biden and you need the millions and millions to run, you've got to give those donors a reason to sign your name on the $200,000 check and not Hillary Clinton's, and fewer of them might have been willing to write those checks, especially as Democrats have managed to sort of turn the credibility tide in the Benghazi committee, and the email story even has sort of shifted in Hillary's favor over the last couple of weeks.
Does the president standing next to Joe Biden constitute some sort of endorsement of Hillary Clinton on some level, that I'm taking care of this problem here and Hillary, proceed?
No, look, if it projects anything, it projects solidarity with Joe Biden. Those two have always been careful to project their close relationship, their close friendship. The president didn't say a word. He just stood in the background. Of course, as soon as this announcement came out and the White House said that Biden would be making a statement that the president would be behind him, you knew Joe Biden wasn't running because the president couldn't be in that shot, could he? Not with his former Secretary of State also running for president, and also the endorsement that he got from Bill Clinton after he beat Hillary in the primaries. That was a big deal, too. So I think this is an endorsement of their solidarity, of their friendship. It will be interesting going forward to see who Joe Biden does endorse in the race, and certainly who Barack Obama endorses.
Well, speaking of head scratchers, Paul Ryan is certainly scratching his head over the reaction to his "I will be your speaker if you just meet my demands" statement.
Yeah, Paul Ryan said something very interesting to fractious House Republicans last night. He said, "I'll do this, I'll lead you, but not on your terms, on my terms. And I'm not going to do it on the terms that you tanked John Boehner under, or that you tanked Kevin McCarthy under, or even that you tanked Eric Cantor under a year and a half ago when he lost his primary thanks to conservatives in his own district." Look, here's one key thing that Paul Ryan said about his conditions. Listen.
"We need to update our House rules so that everyone can be a more effective representative. This is, after all, the people's house. But we need to do this as a team. And it needs to include fixes that ensure that we do not experience constant leadership challenges and crises."
John, that condition there may be the toughest one of all for House conservatives to agree to. What Paul Ryan is saying there is, I don't want the threat that you'll make a motion on the floor to try to kick me out of the speaker's chair. That was a thing they were holding over John Boehner's head, and part of the reason why he left. It was part of what kept Kevin McCarthy out of the speaker's race. They're not going for it. They're saying, we're not going to get behind you as speaker and give you this endorsement and then take away all of our influence over you so that you have influence over us. Ryan says they have until the end of the week to decide if all of the major House Republican caucuses are going to get behind him. If they don't, he says, that's fine. I'll stay chairman of the powerful Ways and Means Committee. I'll work on tax reform, and you guys can search for a speaker somewhere else. That election is going to take place next week, next Wednesday, in the Republican Conference. John Boehner says on the floor of the House next Thursday to choose a new speaker so he can get down to Florida and start golfing, John.
Exactly. And if there's anything the conservatives are good at and in the Republican House, it's calling bluffs. So we'll see what happens there. Todd Zwillig, Takeaway Washington correspondent, thanks so much.
You got it, John.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.